"It's just what I wanted," Sally wrote. "Every single thing. Come visit us," she begged. But she knew Jillian would never come back of her own free will. Jillian had confessed that when she even thought the name of their town, she broke out in hives. Just seeing a map of Massachusetts made her sick to her stomach. The past was so wretched, she refused to think about it. She still woke in the night, remembering what pathetic little orphans they'd been. Forget a visit. Forget any sort of relationship with the aunts, who never understood what it meant for the sisters to be such outsiders. Someone would have to pay Jillian $250,000, cash, to get her to cross back over the Mississippi, no matter how much she would love to see her dear nieces, who were, of course, always in her thoughts. The lesson Sally had learned so long ago in the kitchen, to be careful what you wish for, was so far and so faded it had turned to yellow dust. But it was the sort of dust that can never be swept up, and instead waits in the corner and blows into the eyes of those you love when a draft moves through your house. Antonia was nearly 4, and Kylie was beginning to sleep through the night, and life seemed quite wonderful in every way. When the death watch beetle was found beside the chair where Michael most often sat at supper. This insect, which marks off time, clicking like a clock, issues the sound no one ever wants to hear beside her beloved. A man's tenure on earth is limited enough, but once the beetle's ticking begins, there's no way to stop it. There's no plug to pull, no pendulum to stop, no switch that will restore the time you once thought you had.